Amen. So for those that didn't catch up yet, our theme for the year is fruitful or fruitfulness. So Psalm 1, if you go read Psalm 1, it's that situation where you're sitting next to the water, where the waters actually flood over you. You know, you're drawing strength from the water at least, and you bear fruit in season and out of season. So if you want to know sort of what the theme is for Shofar Brackenfell, I want to encourage you to go listen to that sermon about fruitful and then read Psalm 1 and meditate on it a bit and see, okay, God, how do I sit next to the river, etc. Now, this morning I had a sermon planned. I had prepared everything. I was good to go. And then while we were praying, I felt I might change it. So like Cheslin says, I'm flying, what, solo? What's he, yay? Yeah, so it's a Holy Spirit help me sermon. All right, but we know that He is faithful and He is able to lead us. So I'm quite comfortable doing this. But you know, I was just thinking, or what came up to me while I was praying was just the Israelites standing before or on the wrong side of the Jordan. Jericho is on the other side. There's things about to happen here now. You know. They had their trip around the wilderness for 40 years, you know, complaining, moaning, seeing God do incredible things in that time. Isn't it amazing how even when we disobey, even if we miss God's will, and even if He sends us on a 40-year journey, then there's still miracles and things still happen. That His heart is so for us. I'm so grateful that when I mess up, He doesn't say, Kobus, sorry. You didn't make it, buddy. You're disqualified. Please go out of my presence. You know, the clouds still went with him. The fire still went with him. He still helped them through many trials. Yes, those that disobeyed died in the wilderness and did not see the promised land, but he was still with them. He was still journeying for them. So if you feel like you're in the desert and you maybe feel like this is, you know, tough and God has departed from me, I want to encourage you that He has not. Just follow the cloud. Follow His presence. Go read Psalm 1. So I want to read this morning for us Joshua 3. And I'm going to pick up the story in verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now, in brackets, it says, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. So this Jordan was in flood. So when their feet touched that side, it says, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very, very far away. I would love to see that. At Adam, a city that is besides Zarethan, and those following down towards the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Now again, it strikes me again like when they passed through the Dead Sea, that the words the Bible uses here, that there's dry ground. Now, and that always freaks me out that, you know, when we dry up a puddle, when you mess water or you make a little dummy in your yard, you know, when it dries up, that soil is wet. And you know, for 4x4 drivers, that's the biggest fun because then there's mud and we have fun. But God, when He dries up the river, it's dry. To this land in the way that God has made, which is above average, above normal. It's not like what we think it should be. And as I was praying just this morning, I just had this picture obviously of us standing now in this space, having gathered here. Now, if you think back, 2 years ago, God started speaking to us about enlarging the tent pegs. We had that sermon series we preached about, you know, expanding the tent pegs and making things wider, and how are we going to be creative in doing that? And I remember a month or two after that, the question started coming. So, Kobus, how do we do this? You know, why are we not expanding the tent pegs? And I remember even in my own journey at that time, I was going, God, but surely the venue next door to where we were is now going to come available, and we're going to just take the land. You know, this is going to go open. For those that don't know, we were in Sonacre, in the shopping mall there, and when we actually rented the space there, the idea was always to take the unit next door, which would have become our children's church. So in the second year that we were there, God saying this stuff, and we're going, but Lord, how do we step into that? And I tell you, we prayed, you know, spiritually, some people chased them out of there, like, leave in Jesus' name, and all these things, you know, and we had faith because we knew God was going to bless us. But here we stand today, and I'm thinking, you know, when God opens the road, it's dry and it's clear, and it leads in a way that we did not expect. And even in the journey and just getting here, when I think about this, you know, when we put in the offer at Brackengate and that thing fell through, that hit me quite hard. I was like, am I hearing wrong? What's wrong with me? You know, and me and the elders and the financial advisory board were like, what is going on? We didn't understand. And even the two offers after that, you know, when that also failed, there was a point where I was going, okay, so we're really missing it now in a big way. What is going on here? But looking back now, I realized God was only preparing us. You know, he was even stretching us. Because when you face disappointments like that, when you're obeying God and you're stepping into what you believe He's calling you, and it doesn't work out like you think it is, we become despondent, right? How many of you have got calls and dreams and prophetic words on your lives that God has given you, but because of the disappointment, you have failed to actually step into it? Because you tried something and now it's not working. And you try again and it doesn't work. And you're going, but listen, Lord, what is going on here now? And I remember not once driving past this space thinking that would be a great space. But it's in the wrong space. This space doesn't work. I want to be in Brackenfell. I want to be sort of in the middle. That's where I want to be. That's why I believe God is calling us. And that's what's going on in my heart and my mind. And I'm reasoning with the Lord. And I drive past here and I think, but this is a good space. And I go like, but it's not a good space. And we're in this journey. And I'm going, Lord, where are you leading us? What do you want to do? I don't understand. Excuse me, Father. Help. And I were sitting again on property 24, looking at the same properties, you know, pages and pages of the same stuff. And you look at these things and you go like, well, there's nothing new. Where next? Where must we go, Father? And, you know, we're pursuing stuff. We're standing in faith. And the one day I said to her, I said, sweetheart, let's just go have a look. Actually looked at the venue upstairs where Liv and the Word used to be. We looked up there and we were going, yeah, this is very nice. We're not going to give you that. Underground, the church need to go underground. This is a bit dodgy, you know. I'm not sure about this one. And I'm going, Father, so I arranged to come and have a view at it. I said, Lord, I'll just check it out. And I tell you, when I walked in here, now It's light and it looks nice. When I was here, it was just jungle gyms. You couldn't see the windows. And Bok Radio stuff was there. And I was like, yes, this is a dark place. It is down under. But the moment I walk in, I felt, okay, no. On and the negotiations start, and the miraculous thing about this venue, and you know, again, when God dries up the river, things happen. What blesses me is the fact that the rent that we're paying here is the same that we paid at Sonaker, but we've got more than double the space. But in this journey, even in the disappointments, even in my own brokenness, I can now see how God actually came next to me and actually carried me and strengthened me in this time. Because there was really a time that I was like, I don't understand this now. I don't know where to lead. Lord, I give up. How he just carried us through this thing. And now we're standing in. And if I read this story about the Israelites crossing this Jordan, that was a massive event. Now, you can imagine the people crossing this Jordan, those that crossed the sea were not there anymore. They died.
Except for Joshua
and Caleb. So the stories were told. My son, when we got to the sea, Moses did this. The sea went, and we walked through. We checked the whale. We said, how's it whale? You know, it was an amazing experience. And then the Egyptians drowned. It was a good day. Can you imagine the children of these people now getting to the Jordan in flood? So there's lots of water. And as they step into this thing, it just banks up.
My brain goes. And I'm thinking. And as miraculous as that is, Jericho was called.
So they get to the other side of the river, and the walls are still there. I mean, come on. The walls need to not be there now. We've crossed the river. They should flee. You know, God should just remove them, chase them away. I don't know, rapture them. It's ours now.
And we know if we
read the story that the journey after the Jordan was just as exciting and powerful and mighty, seeing God do incredible stuff, than what it was on the other side.
No wonder the shout was
so great at the end. They were like, finally, we can scream. We can do something.
And I believe as
we've stepped into the space now, as God has led us to the space, as he has dried up the ground in the river before us, we are stepping into that which he has led us to. Already, which the prophetic words and the stuff about the harvest and everything that is given us is ready. The promised land is there. Everything that is promised us is right at our fingertips. We're actually standing on the right side of the river. We are standing on that soil. We have claimed it, and it's there for the taking.
Now the trick. When things don't
look like we think it should from now, what's going to happen to us now? Our thoughts, our ideas of what God is about to do. We listening to the prophetic words and saying, God, we know that you are calling us to this. We know that you are adding the bringing the harvest. And then what if it delays? Does that now mean we've heard wrong? Or does that just mean we must keep quiet? As what the river was. Can you imagine walking around Jericho,
screaming like a
bad thing,
and seeing those
walls go?
Can you imagine the guys
on the other side who put all their trust in their wall, suddenly it's like, oops. It's like getting caught with your pants down. That is a scary moment. That is like everything that is protecting me is now gone. The enemy is feeling. You know, he wants to resist us. He wants to keep us out. He doesn't want us to get into the city to inherit the promises of what God has for us. He wants to just push us out. He wants to intimidate us with the walls and the stuff that he's putting up. You know, Corona and all this stuff is going up and he's going, na, 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 yele kani enkom ni, na, 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 na. And we must just keep quiet and just walk. Around that mountain, that wall. But it's when we're going to start speaking, and I believe, you know, I'm sure you've heard many preachers say that the reason God told them to keep quiet is because they would have talked nonsense. They would have spoken doubt. They would have gone, hey, it's a regtig groot muur. And is that not what we're seeing in the Christian world, even with Corona? Everybody's going, have you seen the wall? It's a big wall. You know, the church are oppressed. We can't do anything. We can't, we're meeting in 50s. Skandalik. Maybe we should wait and go, okay, God, what are you about to do? Because if I read the story further, then I see them inheriting or possessing Jericho. I see them possessing many lands. Many nations were driven out. Things changed in that country. Why? Because there was a people whose God has gone before them. And all we need to do at this time is to wait and say, God, what do you want to do? Where are you leading us? When I spoke to the leaders, a couple of Sundays ago, I said to them, I really believe that this is the year that we cannot do things the way that we used to. But yes, we are going to change a few things. That's why the camp's going to look different. But we need to possess the land. We need to hear God's voice. And you know what? You need to hear God's voice with the anointing and the gift that is placed on you. How are you part of taking this land? You see, because when God said shout and they had to take the city, the instruction was every man just goes before him. And in this situation, when every man here goes before him, we possess the land, we inherit the land, we take the promise. But if there's one or two that backs off, when there's other stuff that's more important than God's mission in your life, you will back off and you're going to leave a gap. And that is not what we're supposed to do. I just want to link it with a sermon that I've prepared. And I want to read to you Proverbs 23, verse 7. And it starts off like this. For as he thinks in his heart so easy. As a man thinks in his heart so easy. And so many times that was the reason why the Israelites did the whole thing in the desert, is because in their hearts they decided or thought that the other guys were bigger than them. They looked at the situation and go like, but there's no chance that we can take this. And the context of the scripture is where this person is sitting at a dining table and the host actually is feeding him, but with alternative agendas. He wants to lead him astray. And the point here is that that guy, because of the way that he thinks in his heart, now he's acting upon that. And we need to be careful what is going on in our hearts. The title of my sermon was Thoughts. Our thoughts that we have. Probably one of the things that none of us can escape. We all have thoughts, but it's what we do with those thoughts that matter. Isaiah 55, verse 8-9. This is God speaking, and this to me is so powerful. You know, we have to deal with this scripture. Even at this time, as we are stepping into the promises of God for our lives, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And then he continues in verse 9. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And you know what we want to do at this time, saints? We want to get God's thoughts. We want to know his ways so that we can walk in those things. And what's incredible here, God makes no secret. He distinguishes himself from us here, and he says, listen, you are nothing like me. And we've got a problem now, because he's not going to change. What we are thinking about,
does it align with
his thoughts? Since there are so much information, stuff flying around, etc.
We need to guard our thoughts. I think one of the big things
we need to ask ourselves regularly now is, but is this aligned with God's thoughts? Is this what he is thinking, and is this the way that he wants to lead us in?
Love the psalmist.
Psalm 92 verse 5, he says, how spectacular, this is the God's word translation. He says, how spectacular are your works, O Lord. How deep are your thoughts. Psalm 33 verse 11, also the God's word translation says, the Lord's plan stands firm forever. His thoughts stand firm in every generation. Psalm 94 verse 19 says this, when I worried about many things. Oh, but that's none of you. Your assuring words soothe my soul. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, when we worry about many things, let his words soothe us. Let his thoughts guide us. Let him instruct us in the way that we should go. Not the latest statistics or reports. Or ideas about what the church should look like. In my world now, there's a lot of discussion on, is the church still relevant? And I'm thinking, because now everybody's saying we must now change. And yes, we need to adapt, I guess that's true. But we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. And I think for me, the most important thing is, am I getting his thoughts and his plans at this time? So, saints, we need to check our thoughts.
The fruit of unchecked
thoughts, just a couple of them, is fear, unbelief, double-mindedness, no faith, because you cannot be in fear and have faith. Scripture says that.
I'll just maybe conclude the sermon
with the last couple of scriptures, James 4. Verse 10. So the thought here is, if we want to align with God's thoughts, how do we do this? How do we hear his word for us right now? How do we as a congregation, how do you as an individual, how do I discern God's will for us at this time? Now, the first thing that I thought of here was James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. It was a devotion of, I think, Friday. Humble yourself before the Lord. Because when you are humble before him, he will teach you. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Speaking about the armor, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. This is so beautiful because I believe that we need to do this at this time. Raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Saints, we need to be vigilant about what we are thinking about. And we need to take these thoughts captives and bring it under obedience of Christ, under God's thoughts, under his way, if we are going to inherit the promise in the land that he's giving us. Romans 12 verse 2, you know the scripture, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's why we have Bible school. That's why we have small group. That's why you have accountability partners, so that you can be challenged, changed, and renewed in your mind.
get rid of all this thinking.
Romans 8 is a tough chapter, but the crux of it is we need to walk by the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. John 15, probably my favorite chapter in the Bible, is that Jesus saying, look, I'm the vine. And the most scary verse for me in that chapter is that he says, without me, you can do nothing. And I realize that we can do nothing unless we align to what he's about to do. So saints, there's many opinions, thoughts, ideas, new ones, old ones, that is coming our way. The reality is we can do nothing with the information that we receive when it comes to us. But when we receive it, we have the power to do something with it. Now, you can also either receive it or you can reject it. Okay, but that's not from God. And you know, you need to grow in your salvation, grow in your spiritual maturity so that you can discern when it's off. Because the devil seldom comes with this whole thing that is contrary to God's word, because then we see it. But it's when that small off, little bit, that we need to be vigilant. I had a discussion with someone, just as an illustration, the power of thoughts or the information that we receive. This person was watching videos about animal cruelty, and the information touched her life so much that she became a vegan. Yeah? And later in her journey with God, God actually, she doesn't really eat meat at the moment, but she does say, I realize that the information that I got was wrong. You know, it was one-sided. And it is bad. Animal cruelty is bad. But it completely transformed and changed their life. And it's the truth for us. The same thing for you and me when we receive various things coming our way at this moment. What do I do with it? And I think the important thing for me is weigh it up against the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, to instruct you. Phone a friend that hears God's voice and say, what do you think about this? You know, one of the toughest things about where we are now with Corona and the lockdowns and everything is that no one has been here before that can counsel us. But may we journey with the one who knows the way. May the shepherd go before us and lead us. May he show us and take us to the... You know the devil is scared? Because we're taking the land. Amen? This is the fulfillment of prophecies that we've had. And we say it again, this is but a tool. This venue is but a tool. But we're going to have fun. Enriching many people and discipling many people. So saints, are you ready to take the promised land? Are you ready to see some walls crumble? Are you ready to see some giants flee? Because that's the anointing on your life. That's the God that we serve. He has not brought us to this place to depart from us or leave us here. He's brought us here to inherit the promises that he has given us. Amen.